Physics before the Standard Model. By the end of the 19th century, physics seemed almost complete. Newton's laws of motion and gravitation had stood unchallenged for over two centuries. Maxwell's equations unified electricity and magnetism into a single electromagnetic field. Thermodynamics explained heat, engines, and entropy. A confident physicist of the 1890s could believe that nature's fundamental principles were essentially known, with only minor details left to fill in. The mood was famously summed up by Lord Kelvin, who declared in 1900 that physics was nearly finished, except for a few clouds on the horizon. Ironically, those clouds would unleash the storms that transformed physics forever. Newton's success, and Mercury's perihelion. Newton's laws of motion and universal gravitation were astonishingly powerful. They explained the fall of an apple and the orbit of the moon with the same formula. They predicted the return of Halley's Comet, guided planetary navigation, and inspired generations of scientists. But not everything fit perfectly. The orbit of Mercury, the innermost planet, precessed, its closest point to the Sun shifted slightly with each revolution. Most of this could be explained by Newtonian mechanics and the gravitational tug of other planets. Yet a stubborn extra 43 arcseconds per century remained unexplained. Some proposed an unseen planet, Vulcan, to account for it. But telescopes never found such a world. This tiny discrepancy was easy to dismiss, but it was one of Kelvin's clouds in disguise, a small anomaly hinting at a deeper flaw in Newton's instantaneous, absolute picture of gravity, an early whisper of curved space-time. The blackbody catastrophe. Another cloud brewed in the world of heat and light. A blackbody, an idealized object that absorbs and re-emits all radiation, glows with a characteristic spectrum depending on its temperature. Classical physics predicted that at high frequencies, the emitted radiation would increase without bound, leading to the so-called ultraviolet catastrophe. In other words, a hot stove should glow with infinite energy and ultraviolet light, clearly absurd. Experiments showed that real blackbodies emitted finite, well-defined spectra. The failure of classical physics here was glaring, and it could not be patched without new principles. It was Max Planck, in 1900, who reluctantly proposed a daring solution. Energy is not continuous, but comes in discrete packets, quanta. He later reflected, "I had to resort to a kind of desperation, an act of desperation." This radical idea marked the birth of quantum theory, though Planck himself saw it as a trick, not yet a revolution. Another cloud darkened, waiting to break. The photoelectric effect. In 1905, Albert Einstein deepened the quantum blow to classical physics. Light, long understood as a wave, could also behave like a particle. In the photoelectric effect, shining light on a metal ejects electrons. Classical theory said that the energy of the ejected electrons should depend on light's intensity. Instead, experiments showed it depended on frequency. Only light above a threshold frequency, regardless of brightness, could knock electrons free. Einstein explained this by proposing that light comes in packets of energy, later called photons. "It seems as though the light quantum must be taken literally," he wrote. This was a shocking return to a particle view of light, and it earned him the Nobel Prize. More importantly, it showed that wave-particle duality was not a curiosity but a fundamental principle. Another cloud flashed to lightning. Adams and Rutherford's surprise. By the early 1900s, atoms were accepted as real, but their structure was mysterious. J.J. Thomson's plum pudding model envisioned electrons embedded in a diffuse positive charge. But in 1911, Ernest Rutherford's gold foil experiment shattered that picture. Firing alpha particles at thin gold foil, he found that most passed through, but a few scattered at sharp angles, as if you fired a 15-inch shell at a piece of tissue paper and it came back, Rutherford remarked. The conclusion: atoms have a tiny, dense nucleus surrounded by mostly empty space. But why didn't orbiting electrons spiral into the nucleus, radiating away their energy? Classical electrodynamics gave no answer. Atomic stability was a mystery, yet another Kelvin cloud swelling to storm. The two clouds become storms. By 1910, the cracks were too large to ignore. Classical physics could not explain. Mercury's orbit. Blackbody radiation. The photoelectric effect. The stability of atoms. What had seemed like minor anomalies turned out to be symptoms of deeper failures. Within two decades, they would lead to two revolutions. General relativity to explain gravity and the geometry of space-time, and quantum mechanics to explain the microscopic world. Physics was not nearly finished. It was only just beginning to uncover the strange, layered structure of reality. The birth of quantum mechanics. By the early 20th century, the cracks in classical physics had become gaping holes. Blackbody radiation, the photoelectric effect, atomic structure, none of these could be explained by Newton's mechanics or Maxwell's electromagnetism. Physicists were forced into a series of increasingly daring ideas. What emerged was not a minor correction but a complete reimagining of reality: quantum mechanics. Planck's quanta, the reluctant revolution. In 1900, Max Planck was trying to solve the blackbody problem. Classical physics predicted infinite radiation at high frequencies, the ultraviolet catastrophe. Desperate, Planck introduced a bold mathematical trick: assume energy is not continuous but emitted in discrete packets, proportional to frequency. E equals h nu. Plain language gloss: a beam of light of frequency nu can only exchange energy in chunks of size h nu. Higher frequency light carries larger lumps of energy. Planck himself viewed this as a pragmatic fix, not a radical change. But it was the first crack in the wall of continuity that had defined physics for centuries. Einstein's light quanta. 5 years later, Einstein took Planck's idea seriously. To explain the photoelectric effect, he proposed that light itself is made of quanta, later called photons. This was shocking. Light had been understood as a wave since Young's double-slit experiment a century earlier. But Einstein showed that it could also behave as a particle. Wave-particle duality was born. The photoelectric effect earned Einstein the Nobel Prize in 1921, and it marked the first decisive victory of the quantum worldview, another cloud transformed into a storm. Bohr's atom. The structure of the atom remained a puzzle. Rutherford had shown the nucleus existed, but why didn't orbiting electrons spiral inward? In 1913, Niels Bohr proposed a daring solution: electrons occupy only certain discrete orbits and can jump between them by emitting or absorbing quanta of light. His model explained the spectral lines of hydrogen with startling accuracy. Bohr's atom was an uneasy mix of classical orbits and quantum rules, but it worked. It was a clue that quantization was not just a trick, it was a fundamental principle. Bohr quipped, "Anyone who is not shocked by quantum theory has not understood it." Shock, for Bohr, was a sign you were paying attention. De Broglie's waves. In 1924, Louis de Broglie turned duality inside out. If light waves could act like particles, maybe particles could act like waves. He proposed that electrons have wavelengths, given by dollar dollar. Backslamda equals backslash frac HP dollar dollar. Plain language gloss: particles with more momentum P have shorter wavelengths. Fast, heavy bullets look less wave-like than slow, light ones. This idea was confirmed in 1927 when Davison and Germer observed electron diffraction from a crystal. Matter was wave-like. The wall between waves and particles crumbled. Heisenberg's matrix mechanics. Werner Heisenberg, working in 1925, sought a consistent framework that stuck to observables, measurable frequencies and intensities of emitted radiation, without picturing electron orbits that couldn't be observed. The result was matrix mechanics, a new algebra where the order of multiplication matters: AB does not equal BA. This radical mathematics captured the discontinuous jumps of electrons and predicted spectra with stunning accuracy. Bewildering? Yes. But also profoundly predictive. Schrödinger's wave mechanics. Almost simultaneously, Erwin Schrödinger developed a wave equation describing how matter waves evolve in time. Dollar dollar. I backslash bar backslash frac backsl backsl partial t backslash hat h backslash high. Dollar dollar. Plain language gloss: the wave function psi encodes a system's probabilities, and the Hamiltonian H tells how those probabilities change with time. Schrödinger's approach was more intuitive than Heisenberg's matrices, and it quickly became the standard language of quantum mechanics. At first, Schrödinger thought electrons were literally smeared out waves, but experiments showed otherwise. The wave function was not a physical ripple in space but a probability amplitude, a new kind of reality. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. In 1927, Heisenberg formalized a shocking consequence: one cannot simultaneously know a particle's position and momentum with arbitrary precision. This uncertainty principle was not a limitation of measurement devices but a fundamental property of nature. Dollar dollar. Backslash delta x backslash c dot backslash delta p backs frac backs bar $2 dollar. Plain language gloss: tightening your grip on position inevitably loosens your grip on momentum, and vice versa. Nature itself draws this boundary. Determinism, the bedrock of Newtonian physics, gave way to probabilities. The Copenhagen interpretation. Bohr and Heisenberg offered an interpretation. Quantum mechanics does not describe definite realities, but probabilities of measurement outcomes. The act of measurement collapses the wave function. This Copenhagen interpretation was pragmatic and successful, though philosophically unsettling. Einstein famously objected, "God does not play dice," but experiments kept confirming the probabilistic nature of quantum mechanics. Dirac and relativistic quantum theory. In 1928, Paul Dirac merged quantum mechanics with special relativity, producing the Dirac equation. It described the electron with unprecedented accuracy and predicted a new particle, the positron, discovered in 1932. Dirac's cool confidence, the underlying physical laws necessary for the mathematical theory of a large part of physics and the whole of chemistry are thus completely known, captured the IRA's ambition. This was the first hint that quantum theory could unify with relativity, a promise that would grow into quantum field theory. A new worldview. By the 1930s, the quantum revolution was complete. Energy was quantized. Light and matter were both waves and particles. The atom was stable because electrons occupied discrete quantum states. Probability, not certainty, ruled at fundamental scales. Classical physics was not discarded. It was recovered as a limit of quantum mechanics at large scales. This was the first lesson of modern physics. Old theories are never wrong, only incomplete. Yet even quantum mechanics, brilliant as it was, faced new challenges. How do particles interact, scatter, annihilate, and emerge anew? How do we build a framework where particle number isn't fixed and relativity's demands are met? The answer would come in the mid-20th century with quantum field theory, pioneered by Feynman and others, the next chapter in our story. Richard Feynman and the language of quantum field theory. Quantum mechanics had triumphed in explaining atoms and molecules, but as experiments probed deeper, its limitations became clear. Electrons, photons, and other particles did not just sit in bound states. They interacted, collided, annihilated, and created new particles. To describe these processes, quantum mechanics needed to be married with Einstein's special relativity. The result was quantum field theory, QFT, the framework on which all of modern particle physics rests. Why quantum mechanics was not enough. Ordinary quantum mechanics treated particle number as fixed. An electron could move in an atom, but it could not suddenly disappear or transform. Yet experiments in particle accelerators showed precisely that. Particles are constantly created and destroyed. And relativity's E equals mc² demanded that sufficiently energetic collisions could turn energy into new mass. QFT answered by shifting the ontology. Fields are fundamental. Particles are excitations. Every species of particle corresponds to a quantum field permeating all of space. The electron is a ripple in the electron field. The photon is a ripple in the electromagnetic field. Gluons, quarks, W and Z bosons, and the Higgs, each is an excitation of its field. Creation and annihilation became natural. Excite or de-excite the field. Quantum electrodynamics, QED. The first fully successful relativistic QFT was quantum electrodynamics, QED, describing interactions of charged matter, like electrons, with photons. Developed in the 1940s by Richard Feynman, Julian Schwinger, and Shinichiro Tomonaga, who shared the 1965 Nobel Prize, but solved the scourge of early calculations, infinities. The key was renormalization, a principled way to absorb certain infinities into a few measurable parameters, charge, mass, leaving precise finite predictions. The payoff was historic. C predicts the electron's magnetic moment to extraordinary accuracy, one of the most precisely verified predictions in all of science. Feynman diagrams, a new grammar of physics. Feynman's most influential contribution was conceptual. He invented a pictorial calculus, Feynman diagrams, that turned opaque integrals into visual, countable processes. Straight lines represent fermions, electrons, quarks. Wiggly lines represent gauge bosons, photons, gluons. Vertices are interaction points. Diagrams enumerate possible histories contributing to a process, echoing Feynman's path integral view. A quantum process explores all paths. Amplitudes add. Probabilities follow from their squared magnitudes. What had been forbidding became tangible and computable. Beyond Coote, toward the strong and weak forces. Keat nailed electromagnetism. But the same toolkit, fields, gauge symmetry, renormalization, diagrammatics, could go further. Weak force, responsible for beta decay and solar fusion, it required heavy mediators, W caret plus or minus, Z0, and parity violation, oddities demanding a unified explanation. Strong force, holding quarks inside protons and neutrons, it had a very different character, immense strength at short range, yet near invisibility at long range. The unifying motif was gauge symmetry, demand that the equations retain their form under local transformations, and the required gauge fields, photons, gluons, WZ, and interaction structures drop out with remarkable inevitability. The triumph and the limits. By mid-century's end, QFT had become the lingua franca of particle physics. It organized the subatomic world and enabled precision calculations. But gravity resisted quantization, the same renormalization tricks failed, and a fully quantum theory of space-time remained elusive. QFT was a magnificent domain-limited triumph. Quantum chromodynamics and the strong force. X's success emboldened physicists to tackle the messy frontier of the 1950s and 60s, the particle zoo. New hadrons, pions, kaons, hyperons, resonances, spilled from accelerators in bewildering profusion. Was this chaos fundamental, or could it be organized like the periodic table? The puzzle of the strong force. Nuclear binding showed strange features. Enormous strength at femtometer scales, vanishing quickly beyond. Saturation. Adding nucleons didn't linearly increase binding per particle. A glut of short-lived hadronic resonances. Classical analogies failed. A radically new picture was needed. The quark model. In 1964, Murray Gell-Mann and, independently, George Zweig proposed that hadrons are built from fewer, more fundamental constituents, quarks. Initially, three flavors, up, down, strange, arranging hadron multiplates like chemistry's periodic patterns. Protons and neutrons, combinations of up/down. Kaons and hyperons, involve strange. The model organized the zoo. But no experiment had ever isolated a single quark. Were quarks real, or just helpful bookkeeping? The mystery of confinement. Even when protons were smashed at high energies, detectors saw showers of hadrons, not free quarks. It seemed the force that binds quarks grows stronger as you try to separate them, like a rubber band that tightens the farther you pull. How could a force behave so unlike electromagnetism? Quantum chromodynamics, QCD. The breakthrough was a new non-abelian gauge theory, quantum chromodynamics, QCD. Quarks carry color charge, an abstract property with three types, red, green, blue. Hadrons are colorless combinations, like white light from RGB. The force is mediated by gluons, which themselves carry color, so they interact with each other. This last feature, self-interacting gauge bosons, made QCD qualitatively different from TED and underwrote its most striking properties. Asymptotic freedom and confinement. In 1973, David Gross, Frank Vilcek, and David Pulitzer discovered asymptotic freedom. At very short distances, high energies, the strong coupling decreases, quarks behave almost free. At larger distances, low energies, the coupling increases, quarks are tightly bound, confinement. Plain language gloss, zoom in with more energy, and quarks slip the leash, zoom out, and the leash yanks taut. This explains Slack's deep inelastic scattering results, point-like constituents inside protons, and the absence of free quarks. The trio earned the 2004 Nobel Prize. Evidence for QCD. QCD matured from elegant idea to empirical bedrock. Jets and colliders, energetic quarks and gluons emerge from collisions and hadronize into collimated sprays, jets, whose patterns match QCD predictions. Lattice QCD, supercomputer simulations discretize spacetime, reproducing hadron masses and interactions with impressive accuracy. Quark-gluon plasma, at extreme temperatures and densities, RIC, LHC, matter transitions to a deconfined state of quarks and gluons, echoes of the early universe. Hadrons became composites, not fundamentals. Gluons did the gluing. A double-edged triumph. QCD, combined with key and electroweak theory, completed the standard model SM. It was a towering success, yet it spotlighted new puzzles. Confinement remains analytically unproven from first principles, though overwhelmingly supported. Strong CP problem. QCD seems to allow CP violation that experiments don't see. Cosmic gaps. QCD explains ordinary matter, not dark matter. The theory explained much, but not everything. Electroweak unification and the Higgs mechanism. By the early 1970s, KEAT and QCD were on firm footing. But the weak nuclear force, responsible for radioactive decay and stellar fusion, remained peculiar, short-range, parity-violating, mediated by heavy bosons. A deeper unity beckoned. It arrived as the electroweak theory, one of physics' crowning achievements. Its central prediction, the Higgs boson, would take nearly half a century to confirm. The weak force, a strange interaction. The weak force shows up in beta decay. A neutron becomes a proton, emitting an electron and antineutrino. Stellar fusion, protons convert into neutrons to build heavier nuclei. Distinctive features. Acts over minuscule distances, 10-cubed femtometers. Violates parity, mirror symmetry, and even CP symmetry. Mediated by three heavy particles, W+, W-, Z0. Where do these bosons get their mass, while the photon remains massless? This was a central riddle. Electroweak unification, Glashow, Salam, Weinberg. In the 1960s, Sheldon Glashow, Abdus Salam, and Steven Weinberg proposed a unification. Electromagnetism and the weak force are two faces of a single electroweak interaction. Key ideas. At high energies, the two merge. At low energies, they appear distinct. A new field permeating space, the Higgs field, breaks the symmetry, giving mass to W and Z while leaving the photon massless. Mathematically, a gauge theory with symmetry group SU, 2L, times U1Y. The Higgs mechanism. The Higgs field is like a cosmic medium filling all of space. Particles interacting with it acquire inertial mass. Those that don't, like the photon, remain massless. W and Z bosons couple strongly to the Higgs field, acquiring masses of about 80 to 90 gigaelectron volts. Fermions gain mass via Yukawa couplings, strengths that differ for each fermion species. The Higgs boson itself is a ripple, quantum excitation, of the Higgs field. Plain language gloss, mass is not bestowed once and for all substance, but a continuous interaction with an ever-present field. Experimental triumph, W, Z, and Higgs. Heroic experiments tested the theory. 1983, CERN, SPS, discovery of W caret plus or minus, and Z0 bosons, with masses and properties matching predictions. Carlo Rubbia and Simon van der Meer earned the 1984 Nobel Prize. 2012, CERN, LHC, Atlas and CMS announced a new particle at 125 gigaelectron volts, the Higgs boson, with production and decay channels consistent with SM expectations. The discovery completed the Standard Model's particle roster. The storm had passed, the map matched the terrain. The Standard Model in full. By the 2010s, the Standard Model stood as one of science's most successful theories. Forces, fields. Electromagnetism, QED, strong force, QCD, weak force, as part of electroweak. Particles. Six quarks, up, down, strange, charm, bottom, top. Six leptons, electron, muon, tau, and their neutrinos. Gauge bosons, photon, eight gluons, W, Z. The Higgs boson. Its predictive power was astonishing. Confirmed across generations of colliders and detectors. The cracks appear. Even as champagne corks popped in 2012, physicists knew the SM was incomplete. It does not include gravity. Neutrinos have mass, but the minimal SM makes them massless. Dark matter and dark energy are absent. The hierarchy problem, why is the Higgs mass so light compared to Planck scale quantum corrections? Flavor puzzles, why these masses and mixings? Why three generations? The Higgs discovery was not an ending, but a beginning, a signpost that the SM is right as far as it goes. A lesson in scientific method. From Kelvin's modest clouds to full-blown revolutions, physics advanced by taking anomalies seriously. 1. Puzzling data, Mercury's precession, blackbody spectra, photoelectric thresholds, atomic stability. 2. Bold theoretical frameworks, general relativity, quantum mechanics. 3. Unifying formalisms, quantum field theory, gauge symmetry. 4. Predicted entities, quarks, gluons, WZ, Higgs. 5. Decades of experimental grit, from tabletop to tera-electron-volt colliders, 6. Triumph, and new questions. Old theories were not discarded but nested as limiting cases. Newton within Einstein at low speeds and weak gravity, classical within quantum at large scales, non-relativistic quantum within QFT at fixed particle number. Closing reflection. From Newton's clockwork universe to Planck's desperate quanta, from Einstein's photons to Bohr's quantum jumps, from Feynman's diagrams to QCD's jets and the Higgs field's quiet omnipresence, the last 150 years show storms born from small clouds. Each anomaly, Mercury's orbit, blackbody spectra, unstable atoms, the missing Higgs, was a clue that something deeper waited to be discovered. Today, the Standard Model stands as a triumph, its predictions confirmed to exquisite precision. Yet, like Kelvin's clouds, new mysteries loom. Dark matter, dark energy, neutrino masses, baryon asymmetry, quantum gravity. If history is a guide, these cracks will not mean physics is finished, they will mean it is only just beginning another revolution. References and further reading. Foundations of the Standard Model and Quantum Field Theory. Peskin, M. E. and Schroeder, D. V. 1995. An Introduction to Quantum Field Theory. Westview Press. Weinberg, S. 1995. The Quantum Theory of Fields, Volumes 1-3. Cambridge University Press. Griffiths, D. 2008. Introduction to Elementary Particles, 2nd ed., Wiley VCH. Feynman, R., P., Leighton, R., B., and Sands, M., 1963. The Feynman Lectures on Physics, Addison Wesley. General Relativity and Cosmology. Einstein, A., 1916. The Foundation of the General Theory of Relativity. Annalen der Physik. Meisner, C., W., Thorne, K., S., and Wheeler, J., A., 1973. Gravitation. W. H. Freeman. Carroll, S., M., 2004. Spacetime and Geometry, An Introduction to General Relativity, Addison Wesley.